Chapter 76. Celeste had changed into her pajamas and was upstairs in the bedroom with Keats. She had convinced him to come up on the bed and allow her to rub his belly. His fur was so soft on his underside. Celeste marveled at the closeness that she felt with Keats. She had never had dogs of her own as a little girl, and had always been a little wary of them. But Keats had been a baby in her arms. There was nothing to be hesitant with about him. Keats had gotten a full dose of petting and worship. He jumped off the bed, and Celeste gave him one of the snacks that she had carried upstairs for his evening treats. The phone rang. "Hi, Frosty," said Marjorie. "How are you?" Frosty was one of the endless nicknames that Marjorie made up for her. This was connected to her desire, in Marjorie's words, freeze everything. Now that she had a home freezer, there was absolutely no stopping her. Celeste still had her turkey from last year, boxes of ravioli, container after container of tomato sauce, a variety of breads, rolls, a birthday cake that needed a recipient. She froze various other meals that were too large to eat or too good to throw away. So the nickname was an obvious contrast to her disposition. Marjorie had never used it or said it in any other way. "Hi, Marjorie, how are you?" "I was just wondering if I am ever going to hear from my son again." "He's working. You know your son, it's a weeknight. The chances of being home aren't very good." "Yes, I know my son. If he wanted to make time to call me, he would." "That's not it, Margie. I hardly see him. If he didn't sleep in this bed, I'm sure that I wouldn't see him very much either." "Well, we both know how important it is for him to sleep with you," said Marjorie sarcastically. She used her son's sexuality as a soft club with which to whack Celeste occasionally. "Thank God for that, or you probably would never see him." Celeste changed the subject. "Did you go to the doctor yesterday?" "Yes," said Marjorie. Then she paused. Marjorie felt her chin begin to quiver. "I have to start taking insulin daily. I tried really hard, Frosty, but I knew it was going to get me. And now I have to stick needles, not only into my finger, but into my stomach every day." Celeste was quiet. "I'm so sorry," she said. "I can't do it. I'm afraid. Suppose I fill up the needle the wrong way, or suppose I don't do it right." "I can show you how to fill the needle. I can show you how to put it in," offered Celeste. "What good would that do with you way up there? It's not like you can just come over and show me how to do it and be there if I make a mistake." "I know," said Celeste, "but I'll tell Ron. And maybe we can come down over the weekend, and I'll show you exactly what has to be done." "Why did you have to move way up there? I never heard of the towns by where you live. Don't you get frightened in that house all the time by yourself?" "At first I did, Marjorie, but it's my home now." "Some home. No streetlights, no sidewalks. You live in the middle of nowhere. Now, when I need something, are either of you anywhere around to help me?" "Of course not. I'm not one of Ronald's students or your patients, so I don't really matter." Celeste let her rant on. Then she said, "Do you think that George can help you?" "George?" Marjorie was incredulous. "Do you really think I am letting George anywhere around me with a needle?" "He wouldn't do it anyway. Lois is the only one that gives me any help." She chose a rare time to use Bumpy's proper name. "She'll give me the needle. She used to do it for her mother. Now that I don't have anyone to do it for me, thank God for Bumpy." I'm sorry that you have to take the needles, Marjorie. You've fought against it for a long time, but it's not the end of the world. No, it's just one more horrible thing. Was it this much of a sin to like a good piece of cake once in a while? Isn't a person supposed to have anything to enjoy in life? Is that what it means to get older? You found out that everything that you love is bad for you? I'm sure that you can still have a piece of cake once in a while, said Celeste. 3 ounces, complained Marjorie. Dandy gobbles up more than that with 2 mouthfuls. What kind of a way is that to have to live? I have to count each one of my cigarettes and not eat cake? Is there anything else that they're going to take away from me? Celeste didn't want to answer. There were no answers that were going to make Marjorie happy. But Celeste knew how to distract her. I got your son a Christmas present that he's really going to like. What did you get him? Marjorie's tone changed. She was interested. Scuba lessons, announced Celeste. What is that? Like sealant? Marjorie asked. That was an old Lloyd Bridges TV series that had not been on for 20 years. You got him that so he will keep on taking you to those islands, didn't you? Celeste grinned. She hadn't been thinking that when she got him the gift, but she had to admit they would be a byproduct. You should come with us on one of those cruises. You would love it. Frosty, you think I'm able to get on a boat with you and Ronald? You know that's impossible. Why even suggest such a thing? The conversation ended a few minutes later with Marjorie announcing that she had to prick her finger and that Bumpy would help her. Celeste put down the phone just as she heard Ron finally coming in the door. Keats hurried his way downstairs to meet him. Celeste resolved that Ron was going to have to go and see his mother this weekend.